This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his sunnah, who follow his guidance, who follow his creed and methodology until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, ladies and gentlemen, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be exploring another chapter from amongst the chapters of Riyadh al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala has entitled this chapter, or this bab, Babu Fadlu Zuhdi fi Dunya wal Hathu ala At-Taqalluli minha wa Fadlu al-Faqr. And the translation is basically the excellence of leading an ascetic life. An ascetic life and the virtues of a simple life. Of having a simple life. Now, the topic really is about zuhd. Zuhd. Az-zuhd. And the word zuhd is translated as asceticism. Asceticism, or being ascetic. What that translates to, it's referring to those people who were ascetic, meaning those who have no real desire for this dunya, but that their main concern and objective is the hereafter, is the akhirah. And they devote most of their attention and focus on al-akhirah, on the hereafter. Al-zuhd is also about ridding yourself, getting rid of greed. Getting rid of greed when it comes to the dunya. And not paying too much attention to the dunya, to this world. And, you know, as some scholars have said, this dunya, a dunya daniya. Daniya. It's very low. It's worthless. And we're going to see some hadith which illustrate and exemplify the fact that this dunya really is worthless, especially in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from amongst the dua that you often hear the scholars or imams reciting, Allahumma la taj'ali dunya akbar hammina. Oh Allah, do not make this dunya, this world, akbar, the greatest of our concerns. You know, and we're going to see some hadith which show that we are on this dunya as travelers or as strangers, okay, on this dunya. That we're just passing by. That this life is a very transitory life. Now, in saying all of this, it doesn't mean that a zahid, which is the name of a practitioner of zuhud, one who practices zuhud, we call him a zahid. Zahid. And it's not about falling short of our obligations in life. We have obligations. We have duties to those who are around us. We have responsibilities with regards to our work or towards those that are around us. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyati." That all of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible for those under your care. So we all have a duty of care or accountability and responsibility put on us. So part of being a zahid, part of being from amongst the zuhad, which is a plural of zahid, is to have qana'ah, contentment, or to be satisfied with what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for you. Having qana'ah. So this is what we'll be focusing on inshallah ta'ala. And Imam al-Nawawi included a number of ayat and lots of hadith. And I'll just handpick some of them for you from this chapter inshallah ta'ala. Now one of the ayat that he mentions is from Surah Al-Hadid in the 18th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Hadid, verses 45 and 46. A beautiful example that Allah Azza wa Jal gives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and put forward to them the example of the life of this world. It is like the water, or the rain, which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it, and becomes fresh and green. But later, it becomes dry. It becomes dry and broken pieces, which the winds scatter. And Allah is able to do everything. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this world. But the good righteous deeds that last are better with your Rabb for rewards and better in respect of hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a very beautiful analogy here, whereby you have this, you know, rain and then this vegetation that happened as a result of this rain. But then what happens? It all dries up and then it all basically becomes broken pieces and the wind just scatters it. This is the example, okay, of this dunya, especially when we look at what is to come after it. Another ayah that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. He says, Ya ayyuhal nas, Ya ayyuhal nas, Inna wa'ada Allahi haq. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O mankind. You notice how the address here is to all of mankind and not, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah is not addressing just Muslims here and believers, but He's talking to all of mankind. And that's part of the what we see in the Qur'an. So, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ Mankind, O mankind, verily the promise of Allah is true. So let not this present life deceive you. Okay, Jannah is true, Jahannam is true, punishment in the hereafter is true. All of this is a reality. So again, verily the promise of Allah is true. So let not this present life deceive you, and let not the chief deceiver, meaning shaytan, deceive you about Allah. Don't be deceived. Many people are hoodwinked. Many people are deceived, thinking that, you know, all they work for is the dunya. So their biggest concern is the dunya. Ad-dunya tud-daniya. So, this is another ayah that Imam An-Nawawi included. Now, from amongst the hadiths that Imam An-Nawawi included about this chapter of Az-Zuhud is the hadith of Amr ibn Auf al-Ansari radiallahu anhu wa arda, and it's found in Sahih Muslim. And basically here, it's a hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prophesizes what his fees are. And one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's fees, as we read in this hadith, is not that we will be poor people, but the opposite is true. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu to Bahrain to collect jizya. Jizya is the like a tax that is collected from non-Muslims who are under the care of Muslims living in a Muslim country. So there is a tax that is payable for that care in return, jizya. So he returned from Bahrain, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah returned from Bahrain, and he returned with this wealth. The Ansar, the people of Medina, got news of it and joined with the Prophet ﷺ in the Fajr prayer. When the Prophet ﷺ concluded the salah, they stood in his way. When he saw them, he smiled and he said, I think you have heard about the arrival of Abu Ubaidah with something from Bahrain. He knows that he has some wealth with him that is brought back to Medina. They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rejoice and hope for that which will please you. Wallahi. So he said, okay, be happy, but I'm going to tell you something more. Wallahi, by Allah, It is not poverty that I fear for you, but I fear that this world will be opened up with its wealth for you as it was opened up to those before you. And you will compete against one another over it as they did, and eventually it will ruin you as it ruined them. Competing over the dunya. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared. So, alhamdulillah, we learn from this hadith that from a religious angle, that poverty of an individual or nation is not as dangerous as its affluence. So what is more dangerous is that when we're living in an affluent, when we're well off, that's when it becomes dangerous. So the Prophet ﷺ does not fear poverty. And the excess of wealth, we find, has made the majority of the rich people extremely careless about their religious obligations. We find that there are many Muslims, for example, who are very wealthy, and their wealth has preoccupied them from the command and their obligations towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ لَهُ. You are preoccupied by this takathur, by this accumulation and hoarding of wealth. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ, until you visit the graves. Because when you are in the grave, you're just a visitor. You're not going to be in the state of the grave forever. When a person is in the grave, he is there, or in the state of al-barzakh, he is only there for a limited time. That's why hatta zurtum, it's a ziyara. It's not an eternal abode, because there is an abode of the hereafter. So again, a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another additional concern for his ummah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read in the following hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu wa adha, and we find it in Bukhari and Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat on the minbar, on the pulpit, and we sat around him, that is the Sahaba, and he said, "What I am concerned most is the flourishment and the beauty of this world will be available to you." And also the Prophet ﷺ shows us in this next hadith how alluring this world is, and a warning. In the hadith of, again, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and this time it's found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The world is sweet and green." The world is sweet and green, meaning it's very alluring. "And verily Allah is making you to succeed each other generations after generations in it, in order to see how you act." He's testing us. "So beware of this world and beware of women." اِفَتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. Inshallah, we'll elaborate more on this, on the part of اِتَّقُوا فِتْنَةُ النِّسَاءِ. Anas radiallahu anhu, in the next hadith, reported, as we read in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, a hadith about what is really the real life. Now, this is a hadith, really, I think, that a person should always have in front of their eyesight, or bring to their conscious, bring to their conscious from their subconscious, every time they are, bewildered or overtaken by some worldly imagery. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Allahumma la aisha illa aish al-akhirah." Allahumma la aisha illa aish al-akhirah. Which means, "Oh Allah, there is no true life but the life of the hereafter." So whenever you see something so beautiful and it amazes you and you caught up with it, remember that this is just temporary. That it's just a fad. It's something that is going to come to pass. something that will deteriorate, something that will die, something that you will get over it. So really, the real life is the afterlife. Because that is eternal. That is the perfect life. And so, there's a little bit of a history behind these words of the Prophet ﷺ. And it pretty much relates to two different occasions. The first one is in relation to Ghazwatul Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. When the Muslims were engaging in digging up the trench around Medina in preparation to the enemy that was coming. And that was a very sort of, you know, arduous and very it required a lot of effort and a lot of energy and a lot of sacrifice from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words with the intention to impress upon them the need for sabr, for patience, and to boost their morale. So yes, you're going through this hardship, but the real life, just remember, is the hereafter. So when you set yourself a goal, when you set yourself the goal of al-akhirah, then these things become easier. You work harder. You make the sacrifices. And you put in the hard yards. Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Beautiful dua that we need to always remind ourselves about. So again, we have to remember that this is a transitory, this is a temporary life, and that the real life is the everlasting life. The other incident is during Hajjatul Wada', during the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw around him a large crowd of Muslims, lots of Muslims. You know, when you sometimes see these numbers, you know, when you see numbers, you begin to, you know, have maybe this pride, and you know that might, you know, overcome you. So when he saw this, the Prophet ﷺ, he warned them against becoming proud and overjoyed by their strength and by their power. And so the real life was of al-akhirah, and that they should do their utmost to reform the akhirah. There are some words of a poet who once said, "La dara lil mar'i ba'da al-mawti yabniha." إِلَّا الَّذِي قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ بَانِيهَا. Or words to this effect. He said, the real home for a person of the... يعني, the real home of the hereafter is the home that you build in this dunya. You build your akhirah in this dunya. So if you build it with goodness, in بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ, if you build it with righteous deeds, good deeds, then... his building is going to be amazing. You're going to have a very beautiful building in the Akhirah, and the more you work and the more sacrifice you make in this dunya towards that home, then your home in the hereafter is going to be just remarkable, outstanding, right? And then he goes on, he says, but if you build your Akhirah with shar, with evil, فَقَدْ خَابَ بَانِيهَا, the builder is destroyed. So you won't even have a building. You yourself will be destroyed. So we need, it's about priorities and getting our priorities right. I mean, again, let's think about, let's do the maths here. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, 60 and 70 years old is the average lifespan. And some will surpass this. Let's say 100. And now, so let's say a person lives to 100 years. So there's 100 years of dunya. And then you have eternity of akhirah. Which one would you put more effort into? Would you put more effort into the 100 years? Or would you put more effort into something which is perpetual? Something which is everlasting? You know, the wise person is the one who would be working towards the akhirah. And really the foolish person is the one who's going to pull all his effort into this dunya, which is going to come to pass sooner or later. So let us always remember this sort of maths as well, inshallah ta'ala. The next hadith is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu wa ardah, and we find it in Bukhari and Muslim. And here the Prophet is reminding us and telling us that what happens when you die. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَ, that three things follow a dead person. Upon your death, three things will follow you. أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ, his family, his wealth, and his actions. فَيَرْجُعُ إِثْنَانَ وَيَبْقَ وَاحِدٌ, two things remain behind and one thing stays with the dead person. One thing stays with him. يَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ, his ahl, his family, and his wealth remain behind. They're not going to enter the grave with you. وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ, and what remains is your actions. What remains in the grave are your actions. So that is something that we need to always remember. You're not going to take anything with you to the grave except for your a'mal, your actions, your good deeds, and your bad deeds, they come with you. So that grave will either be a garden from amongst the gardens of Jannah for you, or a pit from amongst the pits of the hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ السَّلَامَةَ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. This next hadith is another very beautiful reminder of how we should not be overcome by this dunya and overwhelmed by this dunya, and that we need to get our priorities right. It's the hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us about two people who will be dipped on the Day of Judgment. One of them will be dipped in Jannah, and another one will be dipped in the hellfire. Just a dip. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu wa arda, as we find in Sahih Muslim, says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, among the inmates of hell, a person who had led the most luxurious life in this world will be brought up on the Day of Resurrection and dipped in the fire, and will be asked, O son of Adam, did you ever experience any comfort? So he had a very luxurious life, and however he was a person who was not fulfilling the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he is made to be dipped in the fire. O son of Adam, did you ever experience any comfort? Did you happen to get any luxury? He will reply, by Allah, no, my Rabb. And then one of the people of Jannah who had experienced extreme misery in the life of this world will be dipped in Jannah. Then he will be asked, O son of Adam, did you ever experience any misery? Did you ever encounter difficulty? And he will say, by Allah, no, my Rabb, I neither experience misery nor pass through hardship. So subhanAllah, one dip in the hellfire will make you forget every piece of luxury and beautiful moment that you ever had in your life. Just one dip will make you forget all of your riches, all of your wealth, all that you possessed, all of your children, all of your family. It will make you forget everything. And then another person who had such a miserable, miserable life, he straight away forgets all of that misery by one dip in Jannah. One dip. That's just a dip. Imagine being in it forever. Imagine being in it, for the first hour. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal make me and make you from amongst the people of Jannah. Ameen. So it's just a glimpse in Jannah. A glimpse of the hellfire, it make you forget everything. And in this next hadith, we have a comparison of this world to the next. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this world, meaning its pleasures and duration in comparison with the hereafter, is similar to the amount of water one gets when he puts his finger in the sea. Let him then see what it returns. Let him then see what it returns with. If you put your finger in the ocean, right? You think about how vast the ocean is. And then you take it out. How much water is going to remain on your finger? Well, this amount of water, these droplets that are on your finger, is how much, yani the ocean represents the Jannah. The ocean represents Jannah. And this dunya is like just drops from the Jannah. These droplets. So can you imagine how much Allah Azza wa Jal is offering us in terms of reward and virtue in Jannah? And again, we're still going to be competing over this dunya, fighting each other over it, and not prioritizing and making it our biggest concern. Especially when we hear this hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. So this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it shows us the value of the hereafter and its blessings compared to this transitory, worldly life. In this next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again reminds us of this world, of the futility of this world through another comparison. How futile this world is. In the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu that we read in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing through the bazaar or the marketplace with his sahaba, with his companions on both his sides, when he saw a dead skinny lamb. He sees what? A dead skinny lamb. And he held its ears and said, "Who of you would like to have it for a dirham?" Would any of you like to have this dead skinny lamb for a dollar? For a buck? You know, as we say in Australia. So they replied, "We do not like to get it for nothing, and what shall we do with it?" We wouldn't even want to have it for free. What are we going to do with it? Of what use is it? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Would you like to have it for nothing?" They replied, "Had it been alive, it would have been defective because it's skinny, but when dead, it's of no use." So not even if it was alive, dead or alive, we wouldn't want it. We wouldn't benefit from it. Now comes the moral of the hadith and why this hadith is found in this chapter. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Fawallahi," again, an oath by Allah, "Fawallahi, laddunya ahwanu ala Allahi min hadha alaykum." He said, "By Allah, truly the world or this worldly life is more worthless or is worthless to Allah than this is to you," meaning this dead lamb. It's worth nothing. To Allah Azza wa Jal, this dunya, this world is worth nothing. And look at how much we can enjoy it and we have, there's so much we can do in it and achieve in it. So this hadith again shows us the futility of this world for which one struggles so madly throughout life about towards. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn from this hadith how he would always seize opportunities. So if you see something that reminds you of the Akhirah or reminds you with an Islamic notion and you have a child with you, or you have some friends with you, remind them. Remind them, or make those analogies just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do. This is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now also, there is a hadith that shows us, which is evident, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was not attached to material wealth, to material gains. In this next hadith that we find in Bukhari and Muslim, it's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If I had gold equal to the mountain of Uhud in weight, it would not please me to pass. It would not please me to pass 3 nights and I have a thing of it left with me except what I retain for repayment of a debt. So the Prophet ﷺ would hate, the Prophet ﷺ would hate to have any wealth with him, no matter, even if it was a massive amount of wealth. Mountain of Uhud is a massive mountain. He would hate to have any part of it on him except if it was something to repay back or pay back his debts. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived a very simple life himself. Wasn't taken by the dunya. He could have been lived the life of a king. I mean, he was a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, but he chose a simple life. This next hadith also teaches us, brothers and sisters in Islam, to look at those that are in a more who have less in terms of worldly goods, and not be looking at and be envious of those who have more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we read in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, through the words of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda, look at those who are inferior to you. Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum fa huwa ajdaru an la tazdaru. So he said, look at those who are inferior to you, and do not look at those who are superior to you, for this will keep you from belittling Allah's favor towards you. So by looking at the worldly goods and riches of others, a person gradually becomes what? He becomes unthankful for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. This becomes a disease. So when you start to focus on what other people have, and what, in comparison to what you have, you start to become unthankful. You don't show your gratitude towards Allah Azza wa Jal, because you always want what other people have. It's a disease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a remedy to remedy this disease, and which is basically this hadith. Look at those who are in lesser or situations or a status that are below you, not those who are in better situations. And perhaps if you had the riches and the wealth of somebody else, that would be your means to what? To derailing you from having the proper iman. So always be content and say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Just remember that whatever you're going to get, you will get it in this life. You won't get a dollar more or a dollar less, or a cent or a penny or a pound, whichever currency you are using in whichever part of the world you are in, or ringgit or whatever it is, or rial, or you can probably go on. So you're not going to get one more or one less. And remember that your rizq is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Your sustenance is with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Your rizq has already been ordained for you, and what you have been promised. So again, being content with what you have. So from a religious angle, however, that's when, look at those who are better than you. From a dunya perspective, look at those who are less fortunate than you. But from a religious angle, look at those who are better than you in terms of their good deeds and virtues and upright character and manners. Yes, we will look at those people. We will look towards those people from a religious perspective, inshaAllah. The next hadith is a dua against the one who prefers worldly life or worldly wealth over Allah's commands. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as we read in Sahih Bukhari, through the words of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he said, ta'isa abdul dinar, ta'isa abdul dinar. والدرهم والقطيفة والخميصة إن أعطي رضي وإن لم يعط لم يرضى. The Prophet ﷺ said, may he be miserable. May he be miserable. It's a dua. The worshipper of the dinar and dirham. Those who worship dollars and cents. Pounds and pennies. Those who worship. You might be asking, how do you worship? By putting all of your time and all of your energy and all of your effort towards earning wealth at the expense of your obligations and commitment towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Ta'is. Ta'isa. May he be miserable. So if a person is finding himself miserable in life, then he needs to check why he has wrecked himself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And whatever of misfortune befalls you is due to what your own hands have earned. And yet he pardons much. So a person needs to check himself. Check what has made him reach this level. Why am I feeling this way? So another, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and the worshipper of the striped silk cloak, if he is given anything, he is satisfied. But if not, he is unsatisfied, ungrateful. So again, when we are grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal, and when we thank Him, and we show our thanks through our words and through our actions, and through our connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah gives us more. Allah says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank me, I will give you increase. I will give you more. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So those who are after extra, then do more deeds. The more you do, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you receive. It's a universal principle. When you put more time into something, you'll have more returns. The more to make money, you spend money. And that's the universal principle. Now, here in this next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn about the people of the Suffah, Ahlul Suffah. And this hadith is originally found in Bukhari. And the people of Suffah, they were the people, the Sahaba, who were very, very poor. There were Sahaba who were very poor. And they used to basically resort or stay at the Suffah. And the Suffah is a shady place at the back of the Prophet's masjid in Al-Madinah. So these people used to basically stay in this area that was dedicated to them. They're called Ahlul Suffah. And in this hadith, Abu Hurairah says, I saw 70 of the people of the Suffah, and none of them had a cloak, like an outer garment. They had either a lower garment or a blanket, which they suspended from their necks. Some, in other words, cloaks, reached halfway down to the legs and some to the ankles. And the man would manage to keep it in his hand to avoid exposing his private parts. This was the state of some of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Yet in another hadith that we find in Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa ardah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he compares this world to a prison. And at the same time, he compares it to a Jannah, to a paradise. He says, the world is the believer's prison and the infidel's Jannah. He said, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Because the believer, he sees himself as being imprisoned from what? From the eternity and the delights and the bliss that await him in the akhirah, in the afterlife. So we are imprisoned from being there. That's where we want to be. Just like a prisoner, he wants to be out in the real world. He's imprisoned from the real world of enjoying, you know, what people enjoy in life. But as for the kafir, as for the disbeliever, to him, this is Jannah. That's it. Because to him, after this is death. After this, that's it. There is nothing to come after this. So another analogy that was given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet in this next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us to be strangers or to be travelers in this dunya. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, took hold of my shoulder and said, be in this world like a stranger or a wayfarer, like a traveler. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, this is Ibn Umar, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you survive till the evening, do not expect to live until the morning. And when you survive until the morning, do not expect to live until the evening. Do good deeds when you are in good health before you fall sick. And do good deeds as long as you are alive before death strikes. Very straightforward hadith. And so we find that the greatest fault of mankind, of a person, is that he does not understand this status of this world. The status of this world. That's the biggest fault. That we have to always come back and remind ourselves that this is a sijin for us, a prison in comparison to the hereafter. And not occupying ourselves with amassing goods and riches, which will only last for, as we said, for a maximum of 100 years. And if one of the ways to gain the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we learn about through this next hadith that we find in Sunan Ibn Majah, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, guide me to such an action, which if I do, Allah will love me and the people will also love me." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Have no desire for this world, and Allah will love you." He said, "Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, yuhibbuka Allah." Izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah. Have no desire for this world and Allah will love you. Wazhud fi ma 'inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas. Yuhibbaka an-nas. He said, and have no desire for what people possess and the people will love you. So you want to gain the love of Allah and the love of people, then don't give too much concern to material stuff. Another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala included is the hadith of al-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu arda that we find in Sahih Muslim. He reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu spoke at length regarding the worldly prosperity that people had achieved and said, "I saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pass his days in hunger and could not even resort to degraded dates to fill his stomach." So during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were some really trialing times and times of poverty. Another hadith is the hadith of Amr ibn al-Harith, which outlines what the Prophet ﷺ left behind upon his death. When he died, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ left neither a dinar, nor a dirham, nor a male slave, nor a female slave, nor anything else except his white riding mule, his weapons, and his land, which he had given in charity to the wayfarers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the value and the worth of this dunya. And he said in the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu wa arda that we find in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, "Law kanat ad-dunya ta'dilu 'inda Allah janaha ba'udatin ma saqa kafiran minha shurbata ma." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if this world was worth the wing of a mosquito, the wing of a mosquito, he would not have given a drink of water to a kafir. Now we know that the kuffar, the infidels, non-Muslims, they drink lots of water. Allah provides them with water, with lots and lots of sustenance. Had this world been worth the wing of one mosquito to Allah Azza wa Jal, if it was worth that, He wouldn't have given them a drink of water. That's how worthless this dunya is. It's worth nothing. What is the, yani, the wing of a mosquito? Has anyone ever given it any consideration or any thought? Has anyone even thought about the wing of a mosquito? You might think about the wing of a fly. You know, you might think about, has anyone thought about the wing of a mosquito? That's the dunya. It's worthless in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this next hadith, we learn about how this life is deprived of blessing and it is cursed. There's no barakah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَةٌ مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَاهُ وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily this world is accursed, and what it contains is accursed, except the remembrance of Allah and those who associate themselves with Allah, and a learned man and a learned person. So everything is devoid of barakah, of blessing, except for these things, except for the remembrance of Allah. Anything that includes remembrance of Allah. Salah, Hajj, Siyam, Zakat, you know, anything that includes remembrance of Allah is not cursed. And the alim, which is the scholar, and those who associate themselves with them, or the talib al-ilm. So this hadith does not mean that this world is totally condemned, but it means that such things of this world are cursed, which take away a person from Allah and make them careless about their obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this next hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda says, as we find in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, do not crave for property lest you should be absorbed in the desire of worldly life. So here what he means by property is, you know, land and industry and agriculture and business, that one should not be so engrossed in them to the extent that they become the sole purpose of one's life and all one's efforts are exhausted to acquire them, thus forgetting all about the akhirah, forgetting all about the hereafter. And in another hadith, the hadith of Ka'b ibn Iyad radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily there is a fitna for every nation, and the trial for my nation or my ummah is wealth. So fitna, anything again which is distracting a person from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the hadith also, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he slept on a straw mat and got up with the marks left on it on his body. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda, he said, O Messenger of Allah, would you make us spread out a soft bedding for you? He replied, what have I to do with the world? I am like a rider who had sat under a tree for its shade, then went away and left it. So he could have had a nice, you know, soft bed and bedding, but no, he didn't. In another hadith, we learn that the poor people, the poor righteous people, they enter Jannah 500 years earlier than others. 500 years earlier. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda that we find in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said, the poor people, or the poor will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich. Why? Because those people who are rich, those people who have lots of wealth, okay, they have to be يعني, accounted. There'll be some accounting with regards to their wealth. How did they gain their wealth? What did they do with their wealth? And what did they spend it? So there's more questioning. Hence the time period. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said in this next hadith, I looked into Jannah and saw that most of its dwellers are the poor. And I looked into the hellfire and saw that most of its inmates were women. So the Prophet ﷺ, he observed the Jannah, and he observed, he has seen Jannah and he has seen the hellfire on two occasions. One occasion is during the Isra and Mi'raj. The journey, the night journey with the Prophet ﷺ, يعني, was elevated through the seven heavens. And he saw Jannah and Jahannam. And during another time when he was praying Salatul Khusuf, the eclipse prayer, he actually saw, he was shown Jannah and he was shown the hellfire. And a large majority of the fuqara, of the poor people, are the ones who will go to Jannah. And then the reason why women are the majority of inhabitants of the hellfire is because, as ulama have said, is because of much of their cursing. Because they curse Allah. And because they are ungrateful to their husbands. يُكْفِرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that most of the women will be in the hellfire. Most of the people of the hellfire will be women. A woman asked, why ya Rasulullah? He said, يُكْفِرْنَا. يُكْفِرْنَا means to show ingratitude. And then she said, يُكْفِرْنَا بِاللَّهِ And he said, no. يعني, do they disbelieve or show their ungratefulness and ingratitude towards Allah? He said, no, they are ungrateful to their husbands. يُكْفِرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ So it's very important for wives to be grateful towards their husbands. So this is a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so besides Allah Azza wa Jal, everything is worthless. And this next hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, illustrates this, and we find it in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the most truthful statement a poet has ever made is the saying of Labid. Labid said, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهُ بَاطِلٌ He said, everything besides Allah is worthless. Everything besides Allah is vain. And so this was the last hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala concluded this chapter with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with beneficial knowledge. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from amongst the zuhad, al-zahideen, al-zahidun, those who live ascetic lives, those whose focus is all about the akhirah and the hereafter, and Allah Azza wa Jal and His promise of Jannah. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.